Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
It's Sal Capaccio.
Sal!
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 Capaccio.
On WGR.
All right. Sal Capaccio joins us now via the West Her Hotline from Detroit, where he has not been for very long, right? Sal, you flew in, and where are we in the process here? Are you checked into your room and everything, or what?
I am. I got checked in and changed my clothes, got out of my suit and into some comfortable clothes literally about 15 minutes ago. It was a longer bus ride from the airport to the hotel than it was a plane ride, I think, from Buffalo to Detroit. That's, I told you yesterday, we're a little bit further out than we normally are.
Yeah, I think my favorite thing about your job for me would be the hotels. I mean, these have got to be like just world-class hotels that the Bills stay in, right?
No, they're really nice. They're really nice. I don't complain. They have everything I need. There's
you're
a fridge here. There's a fridge here and a coffee maker. It kind of like I'm back in my dorm room at Fisher, to be quite honest, with all the amenities I have.
Yeah, nice. Yeah, right? Nice. So where are you, Troy? So what is dinner tonight in Detroit? Like frog legs are a thing in Detroit. Do you go out and find frog legs in Detroit or no?
No, that's a good question. A lot of times I'll have dinner with my fellow media colleagues, but I'm not even like staying near them, so I'm kind of on my own. I did text Eric Wood. He's not going to be here until a little bit later tonight, so he may have already eaten when he gets here. I don't know, so we'll see. But I'll probably just go and find a nice sports bar or something, watch some baseball, and get something to eat. Frog legs, I did not know. Is that the cuisine here? I had no idea about that.
It's a thing that Detroit is known for.
I didn't know that either.
Okay.
I know that from watching, like, I don't know if it was an Anthony Bourdain episode or what, but I think if you Google Detroit frog legs, you're going to get a lot of stories on it.
Really?
But what is Troy known for? That's what I need to know.
Yeah, don't have it.
Troy is known for those little pieces of paper that go on one end of the straw. They make just the they make only that small piece of paper. It seems like it's a big piece of paper torn off, like a wrapper, but it's actually not. No, that's not true. Okay, so we talked yesterday, and we talked about how the preseason, if you could even have imagined it, the preseason this year seems to have been diminished from previous years, as teams seem to use less of it for their starters, for their best players. And I don't know that there would be anything new today about these teams tomorrow night in this game. I'm thinking that there probably isn't, but are we going to see the Bills and Lions, Sal, to whatever extent you know, make like a lot of other teams and not be beholden to the tradition of this third game and just use backups again?
Well, I think we're going to see them less than we would in years past, the starters, that is, Mike. I don't see starters getting into the third quarter. It's possible. They may feel that Josh Allen needs that with his offensive line or some sort of chemistry with his receivers. And in fact, I believe I read somewhere that Matt Stafford might not even play. I don't even know if that's official, if he will or he won't, but I read that he might not even play. So it's definitely a change from what we're used to seeing with the third preseason game. Now, I also think that you have to have a little nuance here, and maybe we get the defense a little bit less than we get the offense, because the defense is pretty set. They've been together for a while. They don't need to be on the field all that long, and maybe you feel a little bit differently about the offense. But I still don't think we're going to see the same kind of, you know, three quarters or a little bit less than that for a bunch of starters on both sides and both teams here. But that is traditionally what had happened in the past, but I think a lot of teams are not doing that anymore, and I think the Bills are one of those teams that are kind of going away from that.
So if Stafford doesn't play, it's very likely they'll go the whole preseason without facing a starting quarterback once. Luck?
That is correct.
Newton, yep. Stafford, and then, I mean, I doubt we see Kirk Cousins next week.
Right. So. Yeah, that's probably how that'll go. Yeah, I would guess, like, John Brown sat out the Carolina game, right? So maybe it's Beasley's turn to not even dress at all. Like, I mean, I'm just spitballing here, but it would make sense to do that, you know? Like, I think they probably feel pretty good about he and Allen being on the same page, especially after the Carolina game. So, like, why chance it? You know, that's pretty much what's going on in the league, and I wouldn't expect the Bills to be an exception to that.
It's possible, or maybe they just get a series together or something like that. Maybe they start shuffling guys in a little bit. I do think there's something to be said for this offensive line and trying to get it right and really kind of figuring out who needs to be on your team, because there are still some guys, I think, that we're not sure about here and that the team is still trying to evaluate. So I think you have to kind of figure out what is your best option there. And Ty Nsekhe not playing means, you know, Cody Ford at right tackle, and then, you know, you have to evaluate what you have at guard, and then you have to look at the depth beyond that. Ryan Bates played center last week. He played 51 snaps at center. It was the first time the guy ever snapped the ball in a real football game his entire life, like going back to high school, and yet he played 51 snaps, second team offense with the Bills, and he looked pretty good. So I think they have to evaluate what they have in him, and, you know, you got probably a lot of moving parts there that they're going to at least want to get to. So you might, just because of that, have to get into halftime with the starters, but I don't think you necessarily want to have to do that.
With Sal Capaccio from outside Detroit, Mike Schoep and the Bulldog, the Bills and Lions play their third preseason game tomorrow night, Friday night at 8 on WGR. So we started today talking about the latest at running back, and I'm not sure there really is a latest. What hasn't happened this summer, this camp and preseason, is any movement on the roster at that position. And that's something we thought might happen throughout the spring and early summer. So, Sal, I mean, if you had to guess right now what the Bills' plan is at running back for week one, my guess would be, only a guess, but it would resemble the last couple of years at that position, where it's LeSean McCoy and then here and there someone else. Whoever that is, I don't know that I could guess that. But I feel like McCoy will be probably, easily, the lead running back that day. What would you say?
I mean, I would put that as the favorite right now if I was handicapping it, Mike. But I still am not totally convinced that something doesn't happen in that regard before opening day.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And you know, but I do think, as I sit here right now, that, yeah, I would say he is probably the number one running back. I think that Frank Gore is your backup running back and Devin Singletary is your number three. But I don't necessarily think that it has to shake out in touches that way. It might just shake out in when they actually show up on the field. You know, like the end of a movie, sometimes you have whoever's the star is first. Sometimes you have in order of appearance. with the Bills, right, it may be like in order of appearance. It might be LeSean McCoy, Frank Gore, Devin Singletary. But if we're going to talk about who had the most touches or impact on a game, it might be Devin Singletary quicker than we think, which lends me to think, well, what are we doing here with LeSean McCoy? So it's a pretty interesting situation still with 2 weeks to go.
I've thought all along, Sal, that a thing to really keep an eye on with regard to this, and I don't want to, this is very, to me, somewhat of a sensitive point, because I don't want to accuse, with no good reason, McCoy or Gore of being guys who would be problems for the Bills necessarily, but I do think it's always tricky if you've got guys who have a certain status in the league on your team and they aren't getting what they consider to be theirs, you know, like whatever they think theirs should be, and it starts getting cut into by Singletary, that I've got a problem on my hands. And I think, I don't know, I've got two guys that I think are like that. I think they're similar enough reputation-wise. Gore, I mean, everybody's joking around about it. Gore wants the ball. Like, he wants every rep in practice, it sounds like. I can't imagine he's going to feel good if it shakes out that he gets six carries in week one.
100% with you. Don't disagree at all. And, you know, and I believe the same thing, which is, you know, you're dealing with different type of animal here when you're talking about a guy like LeSean McCoy and then him, the money he's making, the status he's had in this league, and then suddenly saying, oh, by the way, you have to take a back seat. I don't think that plays well with him, but I also don't know if that plays well in the locker room. You know, it's hard having a guy, and I don't mean just from his perspective, you know, the team's perspective. I think guys see that. They may, other people on the team might see that and say, look, I mean, you know, give him an opportunity to go somewhere else. You know, he has earned that right in this league not to be this guy who's sitting behind some third round rookie. And I think it can become problematic depending on certain personalities. And I do think that LeSean McCoy has the type of personality that, you know, you have to be aware of that. You have to be aware. He's a guy that's not going to be afraid to speak his mind if he has something he needs to say. And then again, you do have, you know, money that, again, the cap isn't an issue, but you can save some money and you can use that money elsewhere or roll it over. And you have to start thinking about those kinds of things. So I do think that that is something that they have to be aware of if they want to go down that road.
With Sal Capaccio here on WGR, Bulldog and I have a new Josh Allen bet today, Sal. You were on the plane.
Oh, I haven't heard this one. Yeah, let's go.
Over or under 6.5 rushing touchdowns.
He had 8 last year, didn't he?
He had 8, yes. And that made him...
In only 12 games?
11 games, I think, yeah.
Yeah, 12 appearances, 12 games.
Oh, right.
I think.
11 starts.
Right. That puts him on a very short list of quarterbacks to ever do that. I mean, 8 rushing touchdowns for a quarterback is kind of massive. So it's also, like you're saying, you guys are saying, it's not a full season. I just think if he duplicates that, that would be not incredible, but, I mean, stellar. if he can
so put you're taking the under and Bulldog is taking the over?
Yep. Yes.
And it's 6.5?
Mm-hmm.
Boy, I mean, I think that the smarter, logical money would be on the under, but I wouldn't be shocked if he went over. I think, Mike, you know, you're right, the case you make, which is, you know, that's rarefied air for a quarterback to do that. And, you know, he ran a lot of times out of necessity. He ran out of fear, maybe, and, you know, not knowing his reads and things like that. The fact that he's going to hang in the pocket longer, I believe that, go through his reads. It's not about the running game necessarily and where it's at. It's, you know, what he's trying to do and what they're trying to do with him as a passer. So I would take the under on that, but I wouldn't be shocked if he got to 7 this year. But that's still a big number, 6 rushing touchdowns. Right. You know, did Russell Wilson didn't have 1 last year, I believe. Not 1. And here's a guy that ran for, you know, used to run all the time for touchdowns, yeah. But, you know, he didn't run for 1 last year. So I just think it's hard to get quarterbacks rushing for touchdowns. You have Cam Newton, of course, who does what he does. But, man, 6 is a lot, I think, for anybody.
I guess I'm betting on, yes, fewer scrambles, but, you know, if the offense is like a touch better, then more opportunities, more drives that get into the red zone, and even, you know, 2nd and goal from the 6 is a quarterback draw. Spread them out, and Allen can run it in. Like, I think if he runs less on scrambles, they may want to utilize him on designed plays where the opportunity to score is there. So I'm betting on that. I'm probably overthinking it, but whatever. Fun to have a little action on Allen.
Yes, that's right. You can get that much more excited when he runs one in.
Yeah.
And in the press box, be sure to temper your enthusiasm.
Right.
16 quarterbacks in history have run for 8 or more. And Jack Kemp is one of 2 or 3 to ever do it twice, by the way. Newton is the only one to do it 3 times. And post-merger, it's Newton 3 times, McNair and Vic twice, and then a bunch of guys once, including Allen, Dante Culpepper, Steve Grogan, and Cordell Stewart. Hmm. Those guys are on that list.
So, Sal, you have up at WGR550.com. I guess I think a lot of people might get to the website and go be surprised to see a long-form interview piece with Derek Anderson, who retired before the season and the offseason really even got rolling. What led you to talk to Anderson and just preview the piece for people who haven't seen it yet?
What led me to talk to Anderson was actually a tweet from Dan Orlovsky, believe it or not. It was a tweet the other day, Dan Orlovsky, I think you guys might have seen it and even referenced it.
Yes.
Where Dan Orlovsky tweeted about Josh Allen and what he was able to do on the one play where he hit Tommy Sweeney down the seam. And on that tweet, Derek Anderson backed it up and replied and basically said he gets it and will only get better as the season goes. And it just made me think, boy, you know, what does Derek think about Josh? You know, here we are removed from Derek Anderson a few months from, you know, his retirement. He's not on the team anymore. And I was one that really believed that he was a big, big part of, you know, Josh getting better as the year went on. And they were going to really be hurt by, he was going to be hurt by losing him. So I reached out to Derek and I had a lengthy phone conversation with him earlier this week. And we talked a lot about his time in Buffalo, and we started really kind of like chronologically. I asked him what he thought of Josh Allen. It was kind of funny, and I don't want to ruin the piece, obviously, but, you know, he said that when he first met him, he said, So this is the kid in his head. Like, okay, this is the kid that I've been hearing about. And then when they went on the field, he said he was just blown away by his arm talent. Now, remember, Derek Anderson has a lot of arm talent too, right? He was known as a big arm guy, but he says he was just shocked by what he saw. And then we kind of went through the season and what he saw from Allen, the injury, how Allen was receptive to him, how he tried to coach him and mentor him. And then at the end, you know, he opened up about his concussion. And I was surprised, guys, to hear that you know, the reason he stepped away, he did not want to step away. But he said even now, as we talked just the other night on the phone, he said even now he's having things that are going on that are, as he put it, unpleasant at times. Mm-hmm. And it was a really hard choice, but he made the right one. He has a family to think about. And, you know, him and Josh are good friends. They keep he keeps tabs on him, and he's going to be rooting for him. He's there for him, but he couldn't do it anymore.
I don't know if I could right now recite for you guys the order of the quarterback transactions last year. I'm not sure I could do it. I might be able to, but I mean, it's just kind of a blur. Anderson is just going to be one of these guys that you might not remember.
Yeah.
Was a part of the, he gets the Monday night home game that was their first in like 10 years or whatever, last year. So
what's well, good. And then he got hurt in that game, right?
And he got hurt in that game.
Yeah.
And that would have been it. Right?
Yeah.
So it sounds like you came away from that conversation impressed with him.
I was impressed with, you know, Derek is he's got a lot of energy. He's an enthusiastic guy, but really, Derek is very much, he speaks to me on a lot of levels, which is, you know, what's important to him is being a good teammate and being respected by the guys that, you know, he goes to battle with, so to speak, all the time. And, you know, one of the, he talked in the piece that I wrote about what he was trying to impress upon Josh, what was important about being a quarterback and how he can earn the respect of his teammates. And Derek did not have all the talent in the world. Obviously, he didn't have this great career, but he lasted a long time, guys. And I think when you read the piece, you understand why Derek Anderson lasted as long as he did.
All right. So have a good night there, and we'll talk tomorrow.
All right, I'm going to go find some frog legs.
Yeah, there
I'll
you
talk
go.
To you guys. I'll report tomorrow.
Frog leg report. That's what I'm going to be looking for. All right, Sal Capaccio there on the Western Hotline near Detroit. His report with us today and every day brought to you by New York's only outlet liquor. When you need to stock up, it's the place to buy a case. What's your outlet?
So you were just in Detroit, right, you said?
Yeah. Weekend before last, yeah. Sunday before last, I was there.
Yesterday, I was remembering that basketball trip, NCAA tournament there. So, there was soccer in Detroit when I was doing soccer. Mm. Detroit Vipers. No, was that was the hockey team. What was the soccer team, Joe?
For Detroit?
Yeah.
The Detroit City FC.
The Wheels. Come on, it had to be the Wheels.
Was the Vipers the hockey team?
Vipers, I think, is a hockey team.
Was the Buffalo Roller hockey team was Stampede, or were they Vipers? I feel like they might have been Vipers for a little while, too.
Don't know. That was never my...
I need Detroit. I need Detroit Wheels.
Buffalo Wings?
I think Buffalo Wings was the roller hockey team.
What was the soccer team? The indoor soccer team? I don't know. Joe Louis Arena.
Yeah.
Kind of cool.
Yeah.
Remember seeing a very young Venus and Serena Williams in the airport in Detroit once. Like, this would have been when I was doing soccer, so like 20 years ago.
Wow.
Serena gets Sharapova in round one of the U.S. Open next week.
Yeah, I saw that. I saw that.
That's kind of wild. Yeah. They would play first.
Detroit Rockers.
Detroit Rockers?
Detroit Rockers was the soccer team. Get it?
No.
Well.
It's not after rocking chairs.
Rocker and soccer.
Oh, sure.
And also Detroit Rock City.
Right. Yeah, that works.
Andrew drafted Detroit and Kiss. What was that draft? Was that a city draft or a band draft? Or what was that?
No, he was not here for band draft. He would have been city draft.
City draft?
Yeah.
And did he think, because Kiss is on the station now. We've got a concert coming up.
Right.
Last Kiss.
And he thought he got Kiss because of Detroit Rock City. I'm like, they're from Brooklyn.
Okay, little mix up.
It's just a song.
Little mix up.
You don't
there.
Get kissed because of that.
Little mix up.
Yeah, I you know what? I've been to Detroit. I went to Detroit for a concert back in, I don't know, early '80s probably. I went to see the Clash in Detroit.
Remember, where?
The Fox Theater, maybe?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's famous,
like a
I think.
Like a Shays Buffalo-sized theater in Detroit. I don't remember what part of town I went. I had a buddy of mine who was going to the University of Michigan. So I went to Ann Arbor and got a look around. You know, this is a long time ago, but still, you know, the big house and all that stuff. And that was kind of cool. And then we went to Detroit for a concert.
And we had our Super Bowl week there.
That's right. That's right. That was, yeah. The Stones. Like, that was the Stones played halftime.
They did?
Yeah. Yeah.
Did you go to one of the press conferences or something?
No.
I didn't.
I did not. No, I did not.
But do you have regrets? You wish you had?
I don't remember. No, if they had, well, it might have been during our show anyway, so it would have been tough, but I don't feel like they did the press conference that a lot of those artists, if they had done that and we had access to that, I would have 100% would have wanted to go just see Keith Richards and Ronnie Wood sitting on a dais having a news conference.
Yeah.
With a bunch of football writers.
Taking questions from Josh Mora.
Right. Like, 100%. I would have been totally there for that.
Aaron Neville was Detroit, right? Was that the anthem?
Aaron Neville.
That was Detroit.
Yeah? Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Detroit, our location in Detroit was like in a crowded, low-level area, and that was John Heater from Napoleon Dynamite was Detroit. Pat Summerall was Detroit. Because of that, I could picture the location. Aaron Neville was Detroit.
Yeah,
he's probably from there.
No,
he's from
New Orleans.
New Orleans.
Yeah.
That's right.
Is there, did he do the anthem with Aretha Franklin, maybe? I'm trying to remember now.
I don't know.
Or did he do it himself? I can't remember.
We did not talk to Aretha Franklin.
No, we definitely
did
not.
I'm pretty sure.
But we did have Aaron Neville on, and that was...
My dad liked that.
That was royalty, man.
Yeah.
To talk to that guy.
That's the last thing about my show my dad has referenced.
Really?
Literally.
Aaron Neville.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
The time we talked to Aaron Neville at the Super Bowl 13 years ago. 803-0550, the Bills and the preseason, LeSean McCoy and running back. What do you want to see at running back week one? If any fans want to weigh in, we'll take your calls after sports here on WGR.
Yeah, you don't want to sit up here and like nitpick and make the guy second guess himself. Now all of a sudden you're taking the creativity out of him. He can't do anything. That's the worst thing you can do. I don't think the Bills are going to do that. Like, they understand, like, Josh Allen's greatest ability right now is his ability to create with his feet. So let him do it. And he's got an absolute hole. So let him do it. Like, let him do what he's good at.
Therese Paylor yesterday of Yahoo.
Absolute hose. I like that.
That could be a team name.
Absolute hose.
Absolute hoses. If Howard ever played, absolute hose. Right? That would be his team. That could be his team name. I was asked today if I know of any clever Bills-themed team names. And I didn't spend much time on it. Like, I really don't know any. Haven't really thought about it. But I'm sure they're out there.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
There's one thing about team names. A lot of them are named, like, they're puns off player names. Honey Funchess of Oats is one of my favorites.
Sure.
Shouldn't you have to have that player on your team? There's a guy, I'm in a league tonight, we're drafting in 2 hours, and there's a guy whose team name is Rolling with Mahomes. I've seen that one, like Mahomes.
Okay, sure. Right?
But what if you don't get Patrick Mahomes? Don't you have to change it? What do you think? You don't have to, but...
Yeah.
I want to... If your team name is named after Patrick Mahomes, I want to think, especially when you're in 70 leagues, I want to think of your team as being the team with Mahomes on it. Right. Like, that's what I can... I could use that.
I mean, I don't know.
I could use that.
Maybe it's a keeper league. Maybe it's different. But I don't know. I mean, it's hard. Year to year, I mean, what are you supposed to do? You don't want to overdraft him because of your team name. That would be stupid. But should you have to change your team name? I mean, I don't know. I'm not going to have Laremy Tunsil on my team again this year. It's a three years in a row.
Right, maybe there's an exception for offensive linemen. I mean, there's some good ones. There's some one site I was using last year for mock drafts. Maybe that's Fantasy Pros that does this. Joe, you use Fantasy Pros, right?
Yep.
Don't they, like, if you do a mock draft there, don't they pretty much name all the teams like that? Like, they're named for players?
Oh, yeah. And they're kind of like, corny. Teams like that, yeah.
Yeah, in your mock draft. Anyway, so do what you want. I'm not saying you can't do it, of course, but yeah. I do like thinking that if your team is named for, one team is named OBJYN.
Wow.
Right?
Yeah.
That's good.
Yeah.
That's good.
Yeah.
Is that going to be the team with Odell Beckham on it? I'd like to be able to scout that. Maybe this guy's going to draft Beckham. I don't know. It's not an auction, so you don't have as much ability to, you know, work the situation, work the room. But
I really appreciate the when I see names like that, I don't want to overdo it here. I appreciate the creativity. Like, I'm just not wired that way. I don't know like why that is, if it's just a lack of applying myself, but I just don't, certainly sitting here right now, I can't think of any. And maybe it's just because I would never think of this while I'm not talking on the air right now to ever sit down and try to come up with some myself. But I just don't operate that way. I don't know. My brain doesn't mm-hmm. work that way for some reason. I think I'm creative in other ways, but there are just certain things I just don't. Yeah, I got nothing for you over here. Just that's how I feel about like.
How about the Bills? There's a Bills themed team name. Right. Why don't you just be the Bills?
Right.
Right. Last year, I got into all those leagues. I'm like, oh, this is going to be good. This is kind of like what you're just saying. I'm going to have like these super smart, funny names, and that'll be great.
Mm-hmm.
And then it just became unwieldy to do that. Like, I just couldn't
so
keep.
Many, yeah, right.
I couldn't keep anything straight. They're all sort of connected, but again, like did not, and I have this problem this year too, did not really identify, they were not easily identifiable to me. So I ended up dumping that and named all my teams after NHL teams.
Okay.
Right? But by the, like even now, a year later, I knew what each one was. I know that my Canucks team won the league. I know that my Oilers team was a little bit bad. I know that the Flames won the league, that Nordiques came in third. Like, I could do that. Now, I'm like, okay, I'm going back to the original plan. All my teams are named after Rounders references.
Okay.
And it's just, it's completely unwieldy. Like, I just...
Can't keep straight.
Who's drafting tonight? Swedish Massage. Mm. It's going to feel like a sweet... His grandma says to him in that one part. You know that movie. It's going to feel...
I really don't.
It's going to feel like a Swedish Massage. My grandma voice, everyone.
Right.
What do I do in this draft?
Huh?
I pick fifth, which is challenging. Let's say the first three picks are, like they almost always are, Barkley, McCaffrey, Kamara. Let's say four is... This could be the same question for four. What do you do at four? Let's do this. Those are the first three guys. Elliott is holding out. Could change... Like that.
Mm-hmm.
Who's four for you?
David Johnson. Maybe Bell. I don't know.
Both fine choices, right?
No.
Bell makes sense.
How soon? You said you're fifth?
Yeah, I'm fifth.
Are you thinking about Elliott at all?
Yes, absolutely.
No.
Here's who's fine at four, I think. Both of those guys you said. David Johnson's fine. Bell is fine. I think right now I'm Bell over Johnson. I think Elliott is fine, but it's risky. DeAndre Hopkins is usually the top receiver.
Mm-hmm.
You could do that. There are four or five other receivers that are close behind him. That's Julio Jones. That's Devontae Adams. That's Odell Beckham. That's Juju Smith-Schuster. That's Michael Thomas. And they're all kind of close. I'm not seeing those guys really go fourth overall,
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
But they're not too far away from Hopkins, I think. So anyway, that's nine names.
Right. And only two of them are running backs? Right? Bell?
Three. Johnson, Bell, and Elliott.
Oh, Elliott. Right. And that's it? Like, there's not another running back that trumps any of those receivers?
Last night, I saw in both, there's two... fantasy sites that I have played at, FFPC, which Evan Silva mentioned, and NFFC. And I saw today that in leagues that drafted last night on both of those sites, the fourth overall pick in a draft was Nick Chubb.
I was gonna ask you about Joe Mixon, whether that's crazy or not.
Mixon is not crazy. Connor is not crazy. Now we're at 12 guys. I mean, like,
right,
come on. This is
right.
If you have 12 or even like six even choices to make there, you don't want to be there. You want to pick at the end of that list.
And Gurley just does not rate anymore. Right. Like, you just don't.
I'm not doing that in round one.
Yeah.
I drafted him once in round three because I felt that it was, I couldn't not.
Yeah.
But not in round one. So I don't know. Like, right there it is. There's a lot of options there, and it's just tough to pick one.
Yeah.
But, you know, Chubb going that high is in part a reflection on this point. Just they're all the same. And
right.
And you're also in a tough spot maybe on the other way around, because all those guys I mentioned will have been picked.
I mean, everybody has got a backup, obviously, right? But Chubb, the thing that would scare me about Chubb maybe more than Mixon is that Kareem Hunt is lurking there. Like, he's getting the first half of the season off. And, you know, I don't know, that could go any way you want it to go. That could end up being a lost season. He's not in shape. He's not in football shape, and he just never really gets going. And Chubb is going so good. Yeah.
They love him so far.
That Hunt never gets a chance, or he comes in and takes stuff away from Chubb. And, like, you only got a half a year of premium production out of a guy you drafted that high. That's a little scary.
Totally valid. They sound like they love him so far.
Yeah.
And they have a guy, Dontrell Hilliard, by the way, who will be the pass-catching backup for the first eight games at least.
Well, really, you're just trying to minimize as much risk as possible when I'm drafting that early. And what's funny is almost every guy that you mentioned has at least some sort of risk, except for me, for Joe Mixon. Then I don't think he would be my pick there, but, like, what is threatening Joe Mixon right now? There's no backup that you're scared of. The offense is basically the same. You know he's going to get the workload. You know he's got the talent. Like, maybe that would be the guy.
Yeah, the other guys that we just talked about, Chubb laid that out, right? Yep. Elliott, obviously. You know,
that's why I'd go David Johnson.
Like, David Johnson, yeah, but that's a new offense, right? Like, and who knows how that's going to fit together.
That's true, but why I would go Johnson over Bell is we haven't seen Bell and what he looks like in an offense that's not that good. Like, he's always been in Pittsburgh. And the Jets might be good, but they also might not be. David Johnson last year was in the worst offense in football, and he was still the ninth best fantasy running back. Like, I think there is a floor there for Johnson that doesn't exist for Bell. And I think Mixon actually has that floor that doesn't exist for Bell, too.
This is why I love fantasy so much. David Johnson, like, that's a perfectly valid argument. Look at his career. How many good years is it?
Well, it's one insane year.
It's one.
Yeah.
It's one insane year. Then he was everybody's first overall pick the year after, and he got hurt week one, out for the season. As a rookie, he was excellent, but it was not a full season. It was short.
The ball
luckily, I right. had him that great year.
Yeah. The year after. Nice.
Yeah.
In this, remember when we talked 2 years ago about this idea and the flash mob and having a draft? We went out there. This is the anniversary of that. This is that league. I got first overall, and you know how that goes when you're running the league and you win the first pick. Everybody's like, oh, sure you did. Makes of course.
Mm-hmm.
And I picked David Johnson, zero.
Right.
Out for the season.
Broke his wrist like right away.
Right in Detroit. First game of the year.
Yep.
But it's not a knee injury. Like, it's not an injury you would think, okay, that could always creep up and come back. I guess it could. But really, the way I look at it, I'm kind of giving him a wash because he was injured for that year. And the 3 years he has played, he really only hasn't been good for one of them. His rookie year, if he got the ball, he would have been tremendous. Like, he had over 1,200 yards and he barely got the football.
It just, so, you know. I mean, I bought this really cool, this really important and great stock that my broker insisted I buy. Just like, when do I get paid? You know, like, I want to get paid. His totals were good last year, but he didn't win you leagues because it was steady, but it was not, there was not much, you know, reward there. Maybe I'll take Kelsey.
At five?
Sure. Get the tight end thing over with.
I wondered about that. I didn't want to ask a stupid question.
That is early.
Without the tight end premium scoring, it is early. But you get the tight end thing over with, come back with, I don't know, Dalvin Cook or somebody. Then Thielen.
Well, that could be the case because I don't think you're getting him on the way back. No, he might.
Kelsey.
But probably not.
I agree with that. All right. Well, thank you both. Thank you, everyone, for this insight. We have to take a break.
Yeah.
We have to take a break.
Let's do that. Yeah.
What do you have for us?
Twitter, Beasley like Sunday morning.
Okay.
Pretty good.
I do like the song.
Jack on Twitter, I just saw it. He tweeted it.
Beasley like Sunday morning.
Beasley like Sunday morning.
Love it.
Pretty good.
It's a great song.
Yeah.
It's maybe the best song. I'll say. Maybe the number one song. Beasley, Easy, the Commodores.
We should have taken the break.
Mike Schopen and the Bulldog. This is WGR.
Until you win that Super Bowl, I don't think you can be complacent with anything. Being that close last year, you want to find a way to win it. And until you're able to do that and able to do it multiple times, I mean, you're never going to be complacent with where you're at.
Right. No, you can't be complacent. Patrick Mahomes, you cannot be complacent. What, the voice?
I'm just not at that's Patrick Mahomes. I was sitting here like, who the hell is that? Who was close?
Patrick, you've done the impossible. You've won 11 straight MVPs and thrown for an incredible 125 touchdown passes each of the last 9 years. What are you thinking? Well, you can't be complacent. You gotta just try to focus on...
Yep.
Which you haven't accomplished yet. But the Chiefs have won the last 9 Super Bowls. 70-0. Mm. Each time. Well, still, that's how we did it. We were only able to do that because we were not complacent. We were not
caught up in ourselves. I think you'd have to worry about some complacency setting in if you did all that.
Yeah, I would.
That'd be tough.
I mean, think about Brady. It's all been said, but the guy's won 6?
Six, yeah.
Seattle, Atlanta, Rams.
Yeah.
In the second stage.
Yeah.
6? What's he doing out there?
Grinding away.
Want to win another one?
Yep.
What's the difference? I mean, I say that admiringly because I am not competitive. And these guys like that, I can't even fathom why you would still be playing if you're Tom Brady. I can't even fathom it.
Right.
What is the point? You're already the best ever.
Yeah.
You've won more than anybody else. You're 42, young family. What are you doing?
I'll bet, you know.
He loves it.
Yeah. A lot of these guys, we would all roll our eyes when Brady would say it. Because, you know, we can't possibly be unbiased about him. He's pure evil. Like, he's making our football lives miserable for 2 decades. It's impossible to be objective about him. But. I guess I'm going to admit I believe him when he says I love it. I love it.
There's no other explanation.
I just love to do the so and you have to in order to do what you must do at his age, diet wise, workout wise, all the stuff, right? I mean, your whole life is just geared around being ready for those Sundays. And you got to commit to that. It must be so much fun to play at the level he's been at for all this time. It just must be a high like there's no other high. Otherwise, why would? Because most people would go at some point like that's a lot of work. Whatever. The supermodel. I've banked hundreds of millions. I'm all good. But you love that high. I want to do that. I like taking the ball and having the guys coming to try to kill me and throwing it at the last second to Randy Moss or Julian Edelman. Like, I love it. That's it.
It can be really hard for players to adjust to life after that.
Yeah,
I mean,
sure.
How would I know? I like going home to my family. And like Letterman said in that special, after he retired and then he was working again, it turns out that if you want to retire to spend more time with your family, you should check with them first.
Ask them how they feel about it. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, there's that. And then, you know, the other end of the spectrum is guys who are really good at it, but don't really love it at all. It's just a means to an end. Like, I'm really good at this. And maybe you know that in high school or, you know, and you get to college and you just keep excelling. And it's just, okay, well, I guess I'm getting drafted in the first round. I guess I got to keep doing all this work. And then you do it, and then, you know, the incentive is to get paid and make a comfortable life for yourself, but you never really love it. You're just doing it.
Well, apparently that's all the Sabres.
Yes.
Because they're all just depressed.
Right.
Mike Schoep and the Bulldog at 803-0550. This is WGR.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.